We're back to Neil Haley Show. My guest today is comedian Mike Glazier. Mike, thanks for stopping by, man. And it's you have such an interesting story how you became a comedian. You're an athlete. You've gone through some challenges in your life. And it's really an inspiring story just reading some of the background. But what made you want to be a comedian?
I started my life as a roller hockey goalie who was just stuck in the net because I was a short little fat kid. And I was like, well, maybe I can be the best roller hockey goalie and make people laugh instead of getting picked on. So it was all a defense mechanism, whether I was stopping the puck or I was stopping people from, you know, poking my belly and making it jiggle.
So interesting. And so you really did well in roller hockey. Can you explain that? I didn't know that. Was that a U.S. sport? I'm kind of reading your bio. Can you kind of explain that to me a little bit?
Yeah, isn't that wild? Like, I had no idea either until I started really climbing up the ranks. But roller hockey is a massive sport. I went from playing in the back of churches with a baseball glove on my knees playing goalie to being the best roller hockey goalie in the country. I ended up touring and training at the Olympic training centers and won a gold medal with Team USA.
So it's in the Olympics, roller hockey?
Here's what happened. We were playing in the Pan American Games. We beat Canada in the finals. I'm skating around the rink with an American flag on my back and Team USA on my chest. And we think we're going to become a summer Olympic sport. And instead, mixed doubles badminton was selected by the Olympic committee. So I retired from roller hockey for the steady job of stand-up comedy, something a little more grounded and, you know, guaranteed paycheck than roller hockey.
But it's a great icebreaker to say you're a gold medalist, right?
It's true. And I also got to do a warm-up and perform at the NHL Awards and do warm-up for all the Stanley Cup champions and NHL Hall of Famers. And it was an honor to meet people like Mark Messier and all these guys. And then I told them I was a Team USA roller hockey goalie. And they were like, oh, good for you. Real happy for you. We don't care. We're NHL players. I was like, I get it. I understand.
And I'm sure when you bring up roller hockey, you could have a comedy joke about roller derby, right? Oh, roller derby. I watched that back. You know?
Absolutely. Yeah. Oh, you were on the roller skates and hitting people over the boards. And it's like, no, I mean, sure, kind of. But I was at least stopping the puck. I wasn't hitting people and knocking them over.
What happened to roller derby, right? I'm just bringing that up this morning. I guess this eclipse still is affecting all of us, right? What happened to roller derby? Right. You know, remember it was like a popular sport on ESPN years ago and stuff, Mike. And where is it gone? Where you have certain sports that is like watching paint dry on ESPN, but yet we don't see roller derby anymore. That was entertaining.
Yeah, it is wild. Like maybe it got replaced by pickleball and other things that are more of a hobby than a sport.
Oh, and speaking of pickleball, dude, that LeBron James has a sports team. I don't know how that sport became busted tennis up the wazoo and now, but it's ridiculous. Pickleball is so popular now, dude. You can't call it that. That's a sport. I can't believe I'm saying that, but literally they're replacing tennis courts with pickleball courts now all over the country.
That's incredible. Yeah. I think, I don't know what happened. Maybe it's the eclipse, like you said, but now we're like watching darts and we're watching foosball and we're watching pickleball and calling them throwing bean bags into holes, playing cornhole. I don't know. I'll stick to my NBA, NHL, MLB, NFL. You know, I'll call those real sports.
No, I got a deal for you, Mike. I know who's going to win the pickleball championship, and we're going to make millions off of this gambling deal, right? I'm sure that the Vegas odds are already here, right?
Yeah, of course they are. Yeah, if you've got those inside tips for me, let's go in on it and cash out.
All right. So the story that started out like that and you decided to become a comedian, it must've been hard at first to get in front of people, right? Because of your kind of self-consciousness, right?
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, you know, it's one thing to be a goalie in the net and have all this equipment and all this protection. And then you go into stand-up and you have no protection. You have nothing except for yourself. And then I also try and talk about some pretty vulnerable topics and, you know, like some mental health that I struggle with, bipolar and depression and things in my family like schizophrenia. But I also try and have a great time doing it. So don't get me wrong. Come see a show. I guarantee I'm funny. I just try and do it from a deep, you know, heartfelt place and nothing nothing too superfluous like cats and dogs and why they're different.
People are looking for this, Mike. They truly are looking for this. The amount of people that are suffering from mental health, especially I saw a number, and I'm not quoting this, just from one of my clients telling me that men are committing suicide at an enormous rate every day at over 40. It's like ridiculous. So, yeah.
Wow. That's interesting to learn. I wonder what that's about. Well, hopefully I could bring some joy to some people and, you know, bring people together and feel some real human connection. Cause I think people are aching for something authentic and some connectivity in the world. So, if I can bring that all over the world and, put smiles on people's faces, then that's kind of why I'm here. It feels like that's a good purposeful living on earth, you know?
All right. So how did it feel performing alongside Dave Chappelle? You know, what did you learn from Dave, you know, and look at now Dave with this big deal he got. That's crazy where he's going, right?
Yeah. Well, I mean, he's a rock star, right? He's not even a comedian anymore. He's like a legit rock star. He just floats through the air and does whatever he pleases, even to the detriment of some communities that I care about, like people who are trans. So getting to meet him, though, in 2015 was a really beautiful thing because he performed on my show Glaze, which was a show that had comedy, art, breakdancing, magic, and a live band. And he dropped in and was like, "This is a cool vibe. Can I perform?" I said, "Yes." He was like, "I'd love to stick around and co-host with you." So Dave Chappelle and I co-hosted for 3 hours. And then at the end of it, the whole crowd stood up. And with the live band, we all sang Radiohead's Creep before we floated off into the night. And that got me in Rolling Stone. It sold out my show for 2 years. He was real generous with his time. So I'll always be real thankful for getting to spend all that time with him. And I made him laugh. So what's better than that? You know, having somebody like Dave Chappelle laugh at your joke, like, come on, that's everything.
You're making me laugh at certain things, but I guess I'm playing into you a bit. But let's talk about cooking alongside Gordon Ramsay. That's another experience. Then we'll go to your latest projects.
Sure, love to. I was on a Food Network show called Worst Cook in America. I almost burned down my kitchen, and they're like, "You're perfect. Come on the show." And I was like, "All right, I'll burn down your kitchen too." And I almost did. But I took the money I won from that and went to culinary school. Because I fell in love with cooking, and then I got hired to cook behind the scenes on a Gordon Ramsay show, and it was there that he told me I'd be a great line cook, and I was flattered that Gordon Ramsay said that, but secretly, I just wanted him to yell at me, man. I just wanted him to put my head between two slices of bread, call me an idiot sandwich, and kick me out of the kitchen. That was my dream, but instead, he was really nice, and so, you know, go figure, huh?
No, it's totally for sure. But I mean, worst cooks in America, wouldn't I'd definitely be on that list, Mike.
Yeah. Hey, if maybe after this, we can hang out and make a frozen pizza together.
Exactly. And maybe not cook it all the way.
Yeah. We can leave the middle a little raw, a little cold, and burn the outside. That's what we're talking about.
Yeah, exactly. You put it on for a bit and that's it. Okay. So let's talk about, you have two things, major things. You have a podcast, so I could see we could definitely have fun podcasting together. Life Rules the Show, jumping into a podcast, doing a podcast, and then also your comedy special and touring. So you got a bunch of things going, man.
Yeah, man. I appreciate you letting me share them. I have a special. It's my very first special. It's out right now. It's on my YouTube, Mike Glaser YouTube. It's called Life Rules. Because I love life. I think life rules. Also, I've made a lot of mistakes in my life. So I have a lot of life rules that I live by to be the best person I can. And like one of those is I used to do these videos for BuzzFeed. And they would ask me to get really, really high. And I got real high for it. They threw me in the back of a car and blindfolded me. And I was like, oh no, I got to come up with some life rules here. I think I'm getting kidnapped by BuzzFeed. And then it turns out that they were surprising me by having me spend the afternoon getting high with Snoop Dogg. And I was like, never mind, life rules. Life rules. Life is amazing. Just say yes to everything. So it's called Life Rules because, you know, I get myself into predicaments and then hopefully they work out and I make memories I didn't have before. And I've parlayed that into a podcast as well.
You're putting yourself out there and saying, what the heck? You know, your major thing is making sure you get as many comedy gigs as you want, but you're seeing the power of brand. And as much networking and more projects you're doing, the more opportunity you're going to be seeing more and more. That's, I think, what you've learned. And I think that's what a lot of creators have to look at. You got to, you shouldn't say no to a lot of things because you never know where they're going to go.
Exactly. Exactly. And this is something that I live by. Like, I believed in the idea of life rule so much, I got it tattooed on my arm. So there's no turning back now. And I can't get the $200 back for it either. So there's really no turning back.
That, no doubt, for sure. And are you looking at one point to act as well? You know, how comedians transfer into acting? Are you open to doing that?
I love acting. I've won a couple of awards, which has felt really good. But honestly, my dream is to do stand-up, tour all over the world, bring joy to people, have Life Rules be a big brand that helps make the world a better place, raise a lot of money for homelessness. And then if I can be a panelist on Top Chef, I think I've made it. I just want to sit at a table with everyone on Top Chef, taste food, make them laugh. And that's my ultimate goal.
You'll make it happen. I know you will. And your the Gateway Tour, people can check you out if they're in California, Colorado, Minnesota, Canada, Oregon, a lot of interesting places. Are you ever going to be touring Pittsburgh? Is this just the update for April?
Yeah, this is just the update for April. You can go to gatewayshow.com to get tickets. It's my friend Billy who created the show, my friend Carmen and I, and the Gateway Show is we do a sober set and then we take an intermission and then we get very high and we do a stone set where we try and tell you jokes again. And tickets are selling. We've sold out almost every show so far and we're hoping for an East Coast run as well. I haven't been to the East Coast much. I'd love to come through New Jersey, New York, all the New England states. It'd be a real dream.
Yeah, it'll happen at one point. But you know, it's interesting finishing up this interview. Why don't you have a reality show or at least or a docuseries or documentary about you or a show like how they're going ahead? You know, they have your podcast should be getting people high like people did with the, you know, the hottest, spiciest peppers that they eat on a specific that really popular show that's on. I forget which network and stuff like that, where the hottest peppers getting people high and talking.
Yeah, I agree. I love that idea. Like Hot Ones only for a bong rip. Let's do it.
And then get people, you interview them, and then by the time they smoke so much weed, they'll answer every question for you.
Well, if anyone out there wants to make a documentary about a gold medal winning roller hockey goalie turned culinary school graduate turned stand-up comedian who has an Emmy nomination and hung out with Dave Chappelle, let me know. Let's make it happen.
I think a documentary or a video or a television show. Again, I am in the production industry as well. I'm trying to put stuff together. I'll definitely reach out to your team. Never know all the magic. That's why I do this. It's my gig. I own this whole thing, the Neil Haley Show and all my syndication and all the people I'm connected with. That's what I love because I don't have to answer any boss, at least on my show. So best place people can check you out real quick, Mike.
Yeah, my YouTube is Mike Glazer. Check out Life Rules, the podcast, and Life Rules, the show. And then my Instagram is Glazer Boo Hoo Hoo. And you can get all the tour dates and follow me there as well. And also congrats to you, building something like this from the ground up, all for yourself and then owning it. It's a massive deal, man. So congrats to us both.
And my documentary soon coming up, my comeback into professional wrestling. So we'll definitely connect sometime. Sounds good, Mike. Thanks for stopping by.
Thanks a lot.
Are you listening, watching The Neil Haley Show? We'll be back in just a moment.